Have you heard the story of Moon Hee Kim, a queen of the ancient Korean kingdom of Silla? Korean people may know that, but people from overseas may not be familiar with it. But listen, she became a queen, and this is a story about how she became the queen. There's a funny story as to how she became the queen. One day, she found her older sister troubled by a dream she had overnight. In that dream, she urinated on a mountaintop and her urine endlessly flew, ultimately flooding the entire capital city. The dream made her so embarrassed, and she was worried that it was a sign of some disaster. But interestingly, upon hearing about her sister's dream, Moon Hee Kim offered to buy the dream for a silk skirt. Unlike her sister, Moon Hee figured that the one who had that dream would be a great figure to rule over the entire city. Afterwards, when a friend of their older brother visited them with torn clothing, her sister was shy and avoided him, but Moon Hee repaired the clothing. Through this, she won the favor of the friend who was a royal and finally became a queen. Even if we rule out the fact that Moon Hee became a queen as a result of buying the dream, the way she thinks and her mindset indicate what a great vessel she was. So to speak, depending on what kind of heart and thoughts a person has, his outcome may differ tremendously. Even in the same situation or environment, each person has different thoughts, makes different choices, and faces a different outcome. It depends on their heart. Let me give you a practical example. Regrettably, there are children sent abroad as newborns. When this country was poor, this was quite common. When the shepherd talked about this, he talked about this, explained the situation where these things were common. There were orphans who lost their parents, or people with disabilities, babies with disabilities, and those parents gave up and left their children at an orphanage. And when people overseas wanted some babies, they were sent overseas to them. As they lose their parents and leave their homeland, how challenging and tough life must be for them. Some of them conquer their situation and circumstance, become successful, help out those going through the same kind of challenges. Those babies face different situations. Of course, they were. What kind of parents you meet is important. If they met good parents, they could grow up well. But if they met bad parents, the outcome is bad. But among them, there are people who overcome their situations. But there are also babies who grew up under good parents, but they resented their parents, and they resented the fact that they were sent overseas. There were people who overcame or not overcame their situation. But others feel betrayed and resentful against their parents and homeland, indulge in crimes, and become a failure. Being under the similar circumstances, some of them choose good things, while others choose bad. Why? Each person has a different inner heart which could be either good or evil. Thus, we ought to always make decisions and act in the truth and goodness and in pursuit of what pleases God. Today, worldly people just blame their parents, blame their environments, and they don't even try to overcome their situation. But even among those worldly people are those who overcome their situation, and they are, and they share their success story, and they set an example of successful life. But if you blame your environments and circumstances, you cannot grow. Whatever the circumstance, those people who make efforts and overcome become successful in the end. And later on, they set a good example and they can become an inspiration to others. Even those who are placed under difficult environments but become successful, it's up to their choice. We have learned the truth and word of God. We learned about the goodness and we know the secrets to receiving answers and blessings. So if we choose that path, even though some situation that is difficult to get out of, but God resolves that and we can... Today, we'll talk about how beautiful and noble God's goodwill is by looking into a biblical figure, David. I pray that whoever is moved by this message will repent, have their diseases healed, and resolve all kinds of problems. Brothers and sisters, let me first explain the historical background of David's situation and what kind of person he was. David was chosen by God in place of Saul, who was the king of Israel at the time. At the Israelites' persistent request for a king, Samuel, Israel's last judge, couldn't help but set up a man as a king, who was Saul. Saul was initially a humble man, but after becoming the king, he grew increasingly arrogant and disobeyed the words of God. Though God gave him a warning a number of times, the king kept ignoring and disobeying his words. So God decided to forsake him and chose David, who was a man after his heart. David was the youngest among the eight sons of Jesse and was a shepherd boy. One day, Samuel visited the house of Jesse with an instruction from God. 1 Samuel chapter 16 describes that scene in detail. Not knowing whom God had in mind, Prophet Samuel initially took note of Jesse's eldest son, Eliab. But God said to Samuel, "God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." He then told Samuel to set up the youngest son, David, as the king. Teenage boy is often referred to as the boy. And as a teenage boy, he was anointed as a king. That doesn't mean he became the king immediately. No, after a long time passed, after going through all these trials, he became the king. He went through the times of trials. What was the reason that David, a mere shepherd boy, could receive such love and blessings from God? In God's eyes, David's inner heart was genuinely good. As we delve into David's goodness from now on, I want you to compare yourselves to David and think about how much love you deserve to receive from God. First, David completely believed and trusted God. Goodness is not just about being nice and kind. The goodness that God recognizes is not just about being kind to others. It is also about believing and trusting in God. This matters the most when talking about God's goodness. Those people who are kind to others, who are lovable to others, but if he is not to God, how could he be seen as good by God? In relationship with others, David also, because David also perfectly believed and trusted God, he was acknowledged as good by God. This is well demonstrated in the face-off between David and Goliath featured in 1 Samuel chapter 17. At the time, Israel was confronting the Philistines in the Valley of Elah. Because of a Philistine general Goliath, Israel had completely lost its will to fight. The battle was so different from today's battle. In the Romans of the Three Kingdoms, no matter how many, there were many soldiers, but those generals had a one-on-one fight. The soldiers didn't involve in the fight, just the generals themselves had a one-on-one face-off, and when the general won, the soldiers got strengthened, got encouraged, and when those people who lost their general, they lost the courage, became discouraged. This was how battles went on in the past. They fought with a sword and a shield and spear, and those soldiers were camped in case of Israel. There were valleys and hills. But the Goliath, a Philistine general, was a gigantic man, was a mighty man. Goliath was a giant who was almost 3 meters tall. He was a great warrior, clothed with armor and armed with a bronze helmet and javelin. His armor alone weighed about 57 kilograms, close to a person's weight. Even as this warrior insulted the army of Israel for 40 days, the king and Israel's army did nothing but tremble in fear. Why? As they saw this general, they couldn't imagine beating that gigantic general. Such a gigantic man, his voice was loud, so all they could do was tremble in fear. But at this point, David showed up to the battlefield. Actually, he hadn't come to fight, but he was just running an errand for his father, who told him to bring food for his brothers. But upon hearing Goliath insulting the name of God, David was enraged and boldly went to Goliath with only 5 stones and a sling. In days of old, people used to have some tool to catch birds or animals. And David also, as a shepherd boy, he was carrying such a tool. He was tending his father's flock. Because he was just a teenage boy, he was tending to his father's flock. So he was carrying some stick and stones. He swung it around and threw the stones with that, and by using that tool, he prevented some animals from taking some of his sheep. And he was skillful. He was skilled at using those tools. Like he was tending his sheep, he carried a stick and a stone and walked towards the Goliath to confront him. And he first went to King Saul. King Saul was, he was surprised. Actually, he was, even as a shepherd boy, because his courage was so great, Saul permitted him to go. At first, he gave him his armor, but the armor was too big for David. It must have looked ridiculous. And Goliath also found David ridiculous. He was standing up on a hill, and just a little boy was coming towards him without a sword, without a... And he was a teenage boy. Goliath was just scoffing at him. But at this point, shouted to Goliath, You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. What a firm confession of faith. What great boldness this is. How wonderful. This is the true faith. You also should also have such faith. In troubles, in difficulties, when you are lacking wisdom, you have to believe that you can do everything through Him who strengthens you. And you have to ask God for help. You have to ask God to move others' heart and change others. And you have to rely on God. This is a solution to, and this is the key to solving your problems. Since David trusted and believed in God from his heart, he could act boldly even before Goliath, who frightened the people and soldiers of Israel. As a result, David's stone hit Goliath right on the forehead and made him fall on the ground at once. Although David was merely a young man, he could achieve such an amazing victory with faith in God. How? He swung it. Was it because he was good at throwing stones? No, because God worked. When he was swinging the stone, God worked. He was working with him. So that the stone hit right on the forehead, which is the weakest part of man's body. Goliath was clothed with armor. If the stone hit other parts of his body, it could have just bounced back. But it hit right on his forehead. That's why the Goliath fell down on the spot. Because God was pleased with David's faith, God worked for him. Only by faith could we move God and experience the works of the Holy Spirit. So how couldn't this David have been found so pleasing and lovable in God's eyes? Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 tells us, "And without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him." Because the young David demonstrated both faith before God, he could knock down Goliath at once and save Israel. Likewise, if only you have faith, you can destroy whatever problem you may have, like Goliath fell down. Brothers and sisters, the second reason God acknowledged David's goodness was that he treated Saul with goodness to the end, even though he tried to kill him. First, let's look at why Saul was eager to kill David. When David knocked down Goliath and saved Israel, Saul was very pleased and made him the general of his army. But the problem arose after David and Saul won victory in a battle. Those women who came out to welcome them sang, "Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Saul became enraged and said, "They have ascribed to David 10,000s, but to me they have ascribed thousands." Now, what more can he have but the kingdom? From that day on, Saul developed hatred against David. Saul even developed hatred enough to wanted to. Why did this happen? Because he had envy and jealousy, and his envy and jealousy was provoked. He compared himself to others, and he got jealous. And that jealousy, with that jealousy, he also judged David. He judged that David was desired to take his throne away. David actually had no such desire, but Saul assumed that David was seeking his throne. That's how his hatred grew, and even he developed a desire to kill him. When he was suffering from, while Saul was suffering with an evil spirit, David played a harp for him as he was burning with envy and jealousy and judgment and hate. You see that, you may say that, I don't harm anyone, but in your heart, if you have hatred, it causes, this is, as Saul was overcome by hatred, he began suffering with an evil spirit. He was, you know, people are overcome by Satan as they are overcome with hatred. Saul committed, even wanted to murder David. David was praying the harp for him, but to him, David only did good things to him, but Saul threw a spear against him, at him. And God allowed David to escape death twice. As Saul watched how this happened, his jealousy against David only grew. God helped David escape death twice. Saul should have realized that God was helping David, and he should have realized that why he was suffering with an evil spirit. He should have repented, but as he was overcome by judgment and evil, his evil grew more and more and distressed him more, and he committed more sins. People who are committing sins, who are committing evil, you may not understand why they are living so, but through the case of Saul, we can understand that you have to have mercy on them and pray for them. That's how we, in order to embrace evil people, we have to understand about evil, how evil works, how Satan takes over people. You have to resolve to shine the light and drive away the darkness and embrace people. Saul's evil grew more and more, and he wanted to kill David anyhow. But God protected David, so he was helpless. So Saul plotted schemes to kill David. 1 Samuel chapter 18 verse 21 reads, "And Saul thought, I will give her to him that she may become a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Saul offered to give his daughter to David, telling him to bring 100 foreskins of the Philistines as a wedding gift. David would have to fight against 100 Philistines to fulfill the demand, so Saul wanted him to die in the meantime. Even thereafter, Saul sent his man to David's house to have him killed. He even led his army all the way to Ramah to capture David, who had run away." Put yourselves in David's shoes. You may think David is great and Saul is evil. You shouldn't just think about that, but you have to apply it in your lives. Even when we are told to apply the word in our lives, people may think of themselves highly, but as they go back to their lives, when someone distresses them, they just quarrel and argue. When they find someone gossiping about them, they go and fight. And you have to realize that even when someone just distresses you a little, you hate him so much. You have to compare yourself to David. You have to have an awakening. And you may think that you didn't, they put yourself to in David's shoes. So even he was eager to kill David. He involved his army to kill him. David, he, ordinary people must have been suffered a lot, but David didn't. From when he was a young man, David fought for the king and the country and achieved victory in many battles. When Saul was suffering with an evil spirit, David played a harp to give him peace. As an official, he never disobeyed the king's command. But instead of repaying such favors, Saul wanted to take his life. Considering the moral duties of man, this was so unfair and infuriating. Also, David had to leave his hometown and went through all kinds of hardship and trouble in the foreign lands. Though David treated Saul with only goodness, the king repeatedly chased after him. He was like an enemy to David. By the way, David, who had been chased after by Saul, got an opportunity to kill Saul. It was when Saul mistakenly entered a cave in En-Gedi where David was hiding. The cave could have multiple entrances. David was staying in the cave, and Saul just happened to come into the cave where David was. In that situation, David's men advised him to kill Saul, as we find in today's passage. David's men, there were people who accompanied David, and these men advised David, saying that it was an opportunity to kill Saul, and they said, "Behold, this is the day of which the Lord said to you, 'Behold, I'm about to give your enemy into your hand, and you shall do to him as it seems good to you.'" They were saying that God had brought Saul all the way here, all the way there to give David a chance to remove his enemy, and that killing Saul was a good deed. Here, David's man, think about the David's man. You understand their position, right? Saul was trying to kill innocent David. So put yourself in their position. This must be so unfair. They couldn't understand at all the Saul's behavior. So because the opportunity came, they considered that an opportunity from God. Actually, they were mentioning God's name in vain. The differences between David and David's man in terms of goodness, it looks like David's men were, for David, they were, because they were considering, they had an opportunity to choose King Saul. They thought that this wouldn't have happened if God had permitted this. You know, God allowed that situation, said, and David's men said to David, "This is an opportunity from God. Kill him." It looks like they were completely this was like a fleshly supporting him. you have to think about what kind of people you have around you. Are you hearing the words of faith or words of love? People are seemingly supporting you, but are they taking away your faith? David's men, they didn't have like vicious intent. They just said like the ordinary people. They had kind of a righteousness, but they were falling short in terms of God's goodness. That's why they involved men's ways and advised David to kill Saul, saying that it was an opportunity from God. And how did David react? But David's heart was completely different from theirs. He said, "Far be it from me because of the Lord that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, since he is the Lord's anointed." David only cut the edge off Saul's robe, but even this caused him a pang of conscience. David ordered his men never to rise up against Saul. Compare David to David's man in terms of goodness and truth. You have to also think about yourself, and you have to repent, and you have to follow God's goodness. You have to think about what it is to follow God's goodness. You have to you have to check your words and deeds, and this is not, you have to know that this is not God's goodness, but man's goodness. And this David's confession is so touching. As for worldly people, they would find an opportunity to retaliate against people whom they don't like, though not enemies. No question, they would do so if someone is their enemy. But even when the situation allowed him to kill Saul, David rather deterred his man from taking his life, because Saul was anointed by God, and he had served him as the king. David didn't want to deviate from his duties. What about you? At times, do you find yourself crossing the line, carried away by your feelings? As a parent, you have to act in right ways before your children and set an example in all areas. But haven't you hurt them by speaking and acting out of your emotions? David didn't kill Saul, but treated him with goodness, because he considered him his father. He didn't want to repay his evil with evil. He thought of this as his duty, and he kept that duties, and this was found to be goodness. But what about your duties? Your duties to your parents, your duties to your children, how are you keeping your duties as your parent or children? Also, no matter how lacking your parents are, it is your natural duty to serve and obey them in the truth. Are you doing so? Are you respecting your parents when they are in trouble? Are you comforting them? Are you serving them? When they were powerful, you obeyed them as a children, but as they are powerless, are you treating them recklessly? We are sometimes hearing the news reports that some children treat their parents harshly. Husbands should love their wives like they love themselves and treat them with respect. Wives shouldn't disregard or neglect their husbands. It is their natural duty to serve and obey them in the Lord. But most people follow their own feelings, turn to the right or to the left, and deviate from the right path.
안에서 내 부모와 자녀와 부부 간의 관계 이렇게 이해하시면 안 돼요.
You should not think about the let's say your husband, your children gives you a hard time. Still, are you keeping your duties? David was doing so. Saul was an evil person. He did something so outrageous. Saul also had his duties as a king. He has duties, but he ignored their duties. He was like a tyranny. Even though Saul was such a tyranny, David didn't treat him with evil. God found this to be goodness. But what about your life, in your families, in relationship with your relatives? How did you act? You have to think about your duties to them. You have to think about your relationship with your neighbors and friends and siblings. Did you have harbor ill feelings? Did you keep away from them? Did you argue and quarrel with them? Did you? Then you are far from David's goodness. When someone was to their benefit, you keep close to them. But someone is not to your benefit, you keep away from them and gossip about them. This is evil, and this is violating your duties. But even as David unjustly suffered hardships and persecutions, he didn't do evil out of his emotions. Instead, he sought out what was right before God and acted accordingly. Relying on God, he didn't involve man's ways. All this resulted from his goodness and was pleasing to God. By the way, as it seems good to you, to today's title, in other words, as it seems good according to your conscience, as it seems good in your own eyes, your conscience, you know, people's conscience differs by person. David, according to David's conscience, he didn't want to kill Saul. What about you? It depends on the amount of goodness in your heart. You may think, I was not born to good parents. I cannot choose goodness. But you have to know that you are learning the words of truth. You are learning about the goodness of God. That's why you have to put such goodness in your heart and choose goodness, even when it seems not beneficial. It feels like you are suffering loss if you follow goodness. Think about David. David should have killed Saul if he wanted to seek his own benefits. But he didn't want to violate his duties. That's how he... Some may think of it as foolish and stupid, but this is goodness. As he did so, God was on David's side. David not only treated Saul with goodness, David tried to make Saul feel comfortable any way he could. After Saul woke up and came out of the cave, David called to him from a distance and bowed with his face to the ground. He said, "Now my father, see the edge of your robe in my hand. For in that I cut off the edge of your robe and did not kill you. Know and perceive that there is no evil or rebellion in my hands, and I have not sinned against you, though you are lying in wait for my life to take it." Even as he was being chased by Saul, David considered the king as his father and confessed his innocence. But today, because Saul was misunderstanding him, he wanted to confess his truthful heart. But today, when things go wrong, some people are quick to blame their parents who devoted themselves to raising them. They break their parents' heart or hurt them by saying, "Having been born to poor parents, I'm suffering."
Tender하며 부모에게 상처를 주는 것이지요.
they hurt their parents. But in David's case, Saul was threatening his life. Nevertheless, David respected Saul from his heart without showing any resentment and treated him with courtesy, like he was his father. How good and beautiful his heart was. David's good heart can also be confirmed. Such attitudes, you shouldn't just be moved by this. You have to ponder over that, contemplate it. And when you see someone whom you hate, there will be no person like Saul in your life. Even if you have an enemy like Saul, you can just treat him like David did. You may, but people may have excuses because he's like that. I cannot love him. You should not give an excuse or reasons. David's good heart can also be confirmed in how he tended his flock as a shepherd boy. When a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from his flock, David rescued it from his mouth. He seized it by his beard and struck and killed it. Because David was a person who would carry out his duties fully, he risked giving his life for his flock. While keeping his father's flock, he didn't want to even lose even one of his flock. To protect his sheep, he courageously fought ferocious animals. He also relied on God. When he was fighting ferocious animals, he relied on God, and he felt responsibility to keep his flock and keep the duties. He was faithful. This was also seen as, because David was such a person, even as a shepherd boy, he could be chosen by God. All this, that's how he could receive compliment and recognition from God. Now, let's see what kind of person Saul was. As he discovered that David had saved his life, although he could have killed him, Saul was deeply moved and regretted his actions. It must have been so moving. He was chasing after him everywhere. But David, even though he could have killed him, he didn't kill him. And Saul found that out. And when he found that out, he confessed, "Is this your voice, my son David?" He was deeply moved. Even though he considered David as an enemy, he called David his son. "You are more righteous than I, for you have dealt well with me, while I have dealt wickedly with you." But because at this point, he was so moved. But evil knows no bounds. We have to understand that. Keeping this in mind, we can understand people around us. This is what evil is like. That's why we have to endure and wait for them and intercede for them. We have to pile up goodness so that they can experience God's mercy. And Saul was deeply moved at this point, but after a while, he again chased after David to kill him. For some time, he seemingly regretted his fault, but since he didn't remove the evil from his heart, it was provoked again with Satan's instigation. Likewise, no matter how much you know the truth, unless you remove evil from your heart, unless you cultivate it in goodness, you can sin again. At any moment, once Satan incites your evil, once you cease to pray and face troubles, evil attributes which you think having cast off are revealed. The Bible tells us about the kinds of evil in many parts. They are recorded in detail in Romans chapter 1, verses 29 through 31. As I read the verses, you have to figure out what kind of evil what kind of those evil you have in your heart? Being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, and unloving, unmerciful. You should do none of these evil acts. For example, do you harbor jealousy against anyone or gossip about them? Do you share someone's shortcomings and slander him? Do you disobey your parents or show indifference to others? I want you to examine yourselves. If you said yes to any of these questions, you have to figure out why you've got diseases or faced various tests and tribulations. Repent and turn back. I also ask you to check whether you've forgiven and loved others from your heart, like David did. The kind of goodness that God wants is not just forgiving with your lips, but removing even the roots of evil lying hidden in you and achieving a heart by which you can forgive and love from your heart. Once you attain such goodness, you can win God's exceeding love and recognition. Jesus told us that we can be blessed as we bear the fruits of the Beatitudes, give even our clothes to people who ask for our shirts, and walk 2 miles when someone forces us to go 1 mile with them. Because David has such a heart, he repeatedly forgave Saul who tried to kill him time and again. Finally, he learned that Saul had lost the battle against the Philistines and committed suicide. Upon hearing the news, did he think, "I'm so relieved. God answered me. This is a time for blessing." Did he think that way? No. Upon hearing the news, David wept in grief, fasted, expressed his gratitude to people who buried him, and blessed them from his heart. Even when his enemy was removed, he showed such goodness. Since David has such a good heart, God said of David, "I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will." Brothers and sisters, some of you here may wonder, why did David, who had such a good heart, have to be chased after by Saul for so long and undergo such life-threatening trials? God allowed these trials to David because he knew what kind of vessel David was and wanted to refine him into a greater man. Just as the head coach of a soccer team rigorously trains talented players to make them national athletes, in order to make a shepherd boy into a king of a nation, God allows such processes to David. Because he had such a good inner heart, because he had such a good vessel, just because someone is good doesn't mean he can be used greatly. He may be so weak. How could he embrace and evil people? People with a great vessel, they can embrace even. And he can, because so God put him through God had him put him through such processes, and as a king he had to keep the nation strong and stable. So God physically also, there are people, there are K-pop stars, celebrities, they don't just pick anyone. They pick and choose talented people, and they put them through rigorous training. Only those who survive those rigorous trainings can become a celebrity or TV star. If any of them run away, they are not qualified. They won't be like also athletes, national athletes who have to win gold medal. They have to be talented. They pick and choose talented people and put them through rigorous training. But if a player doesn't have such potential, it'd be better for the coach not to train him that hard. While trying to turn an ordinary player into a national athlete, the coach may cause him to give up for the same reason, because God had known that David would come forth as a more perfect and beautiful vessel. He allowed such processes. That's why David could receive God's direct guidance even amidst his trials, have his prayer and petitions answered, and communicate in depth with God. In that situation, he praised God. The praises offered in that situation is found in Psalm chapter 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Such a peaceful and beautiful hymn. But even this David had one flaw. It was when David enjoyed stability after becoming the king of Israel. He took Bathsheba and had her husband Uriah killed. Though David was a person who wouldn't cross the line he wasn't supposed to cross, because he wasn't yet perfect, he happened to commit such a sin. As for the kings of the world, such things could have been overlooked. But since God wanted David to have a heart of perfect goodness, David had to go through tremendous trials. David had to run away from his son Absalom, who wanted to take his life, and his son even took his concubines. And a man named Shimei from the house of Saul cursed David and threw stones. In dealing with Absalom, David silently hid away. And regarding Shimei, he humbly said, "Behold, my son who came up from me seeks my life. How much more now this Benjamite?" When parents discipline their children, how would they feel if their children politely regretted their wrongdoings? Even though the parents have scolded them for their faults, they will soon relent and have mercy on them. So after they scold them, they would give them some snacks and give them comfort, and they would show more love. On the contrary, if the children defy them saying, "What did I do wrong?" they would be punished beyond what they actually deserve. As David humbled himself like this amidst his trials and achieved goodness, he could become more perfect and more loved as a king. Trials, as I told you, David went through trials for his sins. It was harsh trials, rigorous trials. But that doesn't mean the same kind of trials are given to people who committed the same kind of sin, because God doesn't want them to run away. So God allows different kind of trials, but God allowed rigorous, harsh trials because God wanted him to repent thoroughly and cleanse him of such sinful natures completely. If we commit, repent of our sins, we can be saved. But great sins, big sins, can leave a trace. Let's say you drop a black ink on a white clothes. Even when you wash the closed, traces remain. Nowadays, there are chemicals to completely cleanse them, but just water or ordinary detergent does not remove the traces completely. It leaves some stain. So the same goes for sins. Great sins leave a trace, leaves traces of sin. So that may hinder them from going, advancing to a better dwelling place. But if a person joyfully endures trials, even the traces are removed. Does this mean that such trials would be allowed to every believer? No. God doesn't have to do that. The first thing that they have to do is to cancel sinful natures. But if such traces are removed, they can advance to better dwelling places. So traces, David joyfully endured such great trials. David showed such confessions and deeds pleasing to God, so he could attain a greater goodness. That's how he could bring down greater blessings from God. God even blessed him, saying that his kingdom would last forever, and Jesus Christ, who is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, would be the born of his offspring. His trials brought about such blessings. Let me conclude the message, brothers and sisters. Today, we've discussed the goodness of David, boldly marching forward with perfect trust and faith in God under any circumstances, not crossing the line he shouldn't cross, committing everything to God, and never repaying evil with evil. All these were found to be good. He didn't repay evil, he repaid evil with good. This is very important to remember. It's not that you met evil people like Saul. It's not that you met the enemy like Saul, but you have resentment, hatred, and grudge. Many of you may have that. Sometimes some of you may be hurt when you are hurt and hatred settles into your heart and you suffer with the darkness in your heart. And some people may have distressed you and you retaliate against that person and you gossip about them and you want to get even with them and you want to do something. And when he is in trouble, you feel relieved and you are actually happy. You have to figure out, you have to discover such evil and you keep away from them and you are lacking love. But what about David? David didn't have, David could have killed Saul, so he wouldn't suffer anymore. And David could have killed Saul, but he didn't. And he treated him with goodness, and he sent him away. He let him go. At this point, Saul was deeply moved, but after a while, he again chased after David to kill him. And David's people could have complained, "Why did you miss out on the opportunity? So why are you making us suffer again? Why are we still running away?" But so we are people. But while you are following a good person, if you just if you think that he is stupid and foolish about his goodness, and if you complain, then you cannot make your heart good. You have to feel the utmost level of goodness, and you have to accept it with inspiration, and you have to make such goodness your own. Then while you accompany a good person, you can also become good. God didn't just have good heart. He showed, displayed deeds of goodness. And also, as He displayed such goodness through deeds and humbly accepted the hardships facing Him, God was pleased, and such good attributes became perfect through His trials. He fulfilled the God-pleasing and desirable good will. Through David, we realize that God's good will is to overcome evil only with good. So when I listen to the message, I remember repenting thoroughly. If you are making enemy, as our Jesus was hung on the cross, He asked the Father to forgive those who crucified Him. Despite having received all kinds of mockery and scorn, He prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Deacon Stephen, who was being stoned for testifying to the Lord, also asked God to forgive those who were throwing stones at him. Since he possessed such a heart, even as a deacon, he was full of grace and power and performed great wonders and signs among the people. Brothers and sisters, as our Lord Stephen and David didn't repay evil with evil, but only responded with goodness, they were loved and recognized by God and received a brilliant glory like the sun in everlasting heaven. Therefore, I pray that all of you listening to this message will always pursue God's desired goodness rather than doing what you see is good. Thereby, you may think, this is not evil, this is... But if you this is not kind of goodness that Father God wants. And I hope that you will always pursue God's desired goodness rather than doing what you see as good, thereby enjoying all kinds of blessings and answers.
Hallelujah, our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases, heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pain go away, including backache, headache, and nausea. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerate. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers, and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding, and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to your glory, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.